Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast and another episode where we won't be covering a Peterborough United win. We are recording after a draw against Exeter City. We've got Ashley on, we've got Del on, and we've got myself, John, and we're going to get straight into it. So, Ash, thoughts on that 1-1 draw with Exeter last night?
Well, first things first, aren't I glad that we didn't record last night, because I was absolutely seething when I was getting back to my car, driving back. And actually, I'm not as annoyed, but I'm still pissed off. We make these signings, they look great in their first game, they look game for 90 minutes, and then bang, Teo are done. Idiot. He's proven himself to fit right in with the other brain-dead defenders that we've got at the football club at the moment, that apparently have zero common sense. I don't know what he was thinking. Just sheer stupidity. I've said before we started recording today, I don't think that we deserve to win. It wasn't a game where I was convinced that 3 points were ours, but to get that far into the game and then just to have this just sheer idiocy, like, what was he thinking? I still can't get my head around it. We've seen all sorts of angles. Obviously, Caden's put an angle up. We've seen the angle from behind the goal. We've seen the angle from the family stand. We've seen the angles from all over the pitch. What on earth was he thinking? You just don't need to put a tackle in there. Like, he's given the guy the opportunity, whether it was a small touch, whether it was a big touch, you don't give a player the opportunity there. And ultimately, it's ruined what should have been a decent 1-0 win, because that was probably their only chance. I know that Gary Caldwell's saying that they dominated us for 45 minutes in the second half. I don't know what game he was watching, but Jesus Christ, to just have absolutely nothing. It just feels like we've learned nothing. And congratulations, new signings have managed to fit themselves in.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with you too much, Ash. It was a shame for Eden, because actually I thought his performance up until then was actually pretty strong. I thought it was good. I mean, what I would say about this new look defence is it can't build up. I like Eden. I like Sam Hughes. I really like Carl Johnston. I think the way they press, certainly the fullbacks, is such an upgrade on what we've had before. But it's a massive downgrade in terms of technical ability. And I think that goes across that entire back line. We've gone from centre-backs, which were carrying sort of 90% pass completion ratio last season, pretty much every game, to centre-backs having 70% pass completion ratio. And I'm just finding it... I mean, you said, Ash, that you've got less annoyed after last night. At the end of the game, I was like, oh, what? We played all right. And we were let down by a stupid error, which we were. And like you've covered, Ash, it was a complete reckless tackle. Just why are you doing that? But then I've thought about it today and I'm more like, that's not Peterborough. I'm not watching Posh at the minute. The second half, like, we were 1-0 up and they were shit. Let's face it. They were really poor. And it wasn't Exeter's strongest team. I think they rotated for the game for whatever reason. And we were 1-0 up and you think we're playing with decent confidence. I thought we were all right in the first half. And then it was like we played like a relegation threatened team. We just sat back, wanted to soak it up. And Caldwell said that they dominated. They didn't really create anything, but they had a lot of the ball and they sort of kept us at arm's length. And a lot of the play was in our half. And by doing that, you invite the stupid errors. You know, they had territorial advantage. And the more I think about it, the more I think a good Posh side just goes and scores again and wins 3 or 4 that game. And this side are just more content with, okay, we've got a lead now. Let's not do anything, you know, too attacking. Let's not go forward. And I feel like for the last 2 months, I've watched a shit side play football. I'm not entertained by what I'm watching. I'm not watching. They want to change the fucking badge to represent attacking football. Well, I'm not watching any on the pitch, so I don't know why we're changing the badge to represent attacking football, because I haven't seen it since November, I don't think. And the more I think about it, the more I think, are we actually a better team for playing in this structure? Yeah, we might look better defensively, but we don't look half the we were getting better results for the first 10 games of the season when we were just going forward and playing like we were last season. We are now. So it's a real gut punch, that one, because it's almost like, where do we go from here and where is the next win coming from? But I've just got more and more increasingly frustrated, certainly with the second half performance and just the reluctance to just go and kill the game off. It was like a panicked team, I thought.
We did. The game, for me, it wasn't the best game in the world, as we've come to expect over the last few weeks. The performances have not been great. But I actually don't think there was any point in that game we was going to lose it. I just felt that we was in control, even though they did have quite a bit of possession and the territory, as you say. It felt as though we're going to win that game. I just had that feeling, you know, especially from the only goal we got. Just to say what I thought was a really good, well-worked goal by all that was involved. It was we'd be like waxing lyrical if that was a few months back and we had won the game, because it was a really good goal. But I just, as you say, there's a few things. We're never going to be that attacking team with the defence that we've got. You know, and I said it in the pod the other week, having Hughes and Manny together just isn't going to work, because they're both very similar in trying to get the ball away. They don't have that sort of skill set to pass the ball out, although, to be fair, Manny does try, not very successful. Edun, whatever his name is, was having a good game. Don't understand what he'd done there. Just why? That's just such a basic, you know, just stay a yard off. What's the worst that could happen? They put a cross in or something, but wrong decision. No need to make that sort of tackle that he did. Disappointing, because I think that sort of put a black mark against his performance, because other than that, I thought he was actually pretty good. But Hughes, I think he'd done exactly what we expected him to do as we brought him in. He gets the ball, he clears it. Fucking excellent. That's what his job is to do. But we need to find a way of building out again, building up the attack. And again, what you were saying there, John, is the fact that, yeah, we have taken away some of the attacking threat that we had, because we're more concentrating on trying to keep a clean sheet. Let's fucking go gung-ho. What will be. We know we can score goals when we're having gung-ho. If we're going to concede, we're going to concede. But the thing is now, we've got more chance of keeping the goals down with the likes of Hughes, who's not scared to put his head in there and put the ball away. If in doubt, fuck it off. Or, you know, as I spelt it wrong the other day. And I just want to mention Bilo as well. I actually thought Bilo had quite a decent game. Disappointed for him with a penalty. Yet another penalty that he saved. If he could just manage to save a penalty and put it behind or over the top of the crossbar around the side rather than parrying it back in, I don't think there's anything else that we could have done about that. He saved the penalty, fair play. It fell to the guy. Initially, I was like, fucking hell, why aren't the defence chasing back in? But come on, let's be fair. Went back the same bloke. He'd done right. There's nothing more he could have done. But yeah, it's just, I think I'm more chilled now, because I'm expecting poor performances. I'm expecting poor results. And when we do get a draw, it's like, it feels like a bit of a win. Do you know what I mean? Compared to what we have been going through. Not saying it's acceptable. It's just, I think where we are at the moment, we are a team that's fighting for our lives. A lot of people saying, oh, we're not in a relegation battle. We fucking are. You know, tell me when we can start saying we're in a relegation battle. We are now. Potentially, I think if games in hand and whatever, we could go into the bottom if teams below us win. Or is it going to be a couple of points? It's not far.
Yeah, no, I think that if Crawley win their games in hand, then Northampton drop into the relegation. But we would then be there or thereabouts.
Fair enough. But we are pretty fucking close to it. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. So we need to just fight. We need to be fighting for our position, which, you know, we're trying to do. But I think now's the time where we need to get behind the team and support them. And I don't think we, at this stage, we should be looking for perfection, because we haven't got the time for perfection. We just need to be fucking grinding our results at the moment. And then once we get the results, then we can work on being entertained. Now, I'm always a fan of, I go to football to be entertained, whether we win, lose or draw. And that's how it's always been. But if we lose and draw, I used to like to see us put the performance on the pitch. At the moment, we're not getting anything. So let's just try and get a few results in and, you know, see where it takes us.
Do you know, that's an interesting point that you make, Del. And I think that the issue is at the moment, like you said, it didn't ever feel like we were going to lose that game yesterday. But that's not what Peterborough United is. Where's the jeopardy? Where's the, like, the, like, you're on the edge of your seat thinking, like, I think back to Crawley, and I think, obviously, we won that 4-3. There wasn't a moment where I felt comfortable in that game. I don't want to feel comfortable when I watch football. I like the fact that I can turn up at London Road, or I can turn up at an away ground, and I don't know what the score's going to be. I don't know what the result's going to be, and I don't know what performance Posh are going to put out. Yes, in times gone by previously, it's been, right, okay, well, we can feel pretty confident that we're going to get a result, but at the moment, it's not so much about the result. It's about the fact that it feels a little bit boring, a 0-0 and a 1-1. That's not Posh, is it? That's not Peterborough United. I would rather us have conceded it be 4-3 and then concede a penalty in the 90th minute and it be 4-4, because at least then you've had that back and forth, like a bit of tennis match. Yesterday was boring. Like, you think about, like I said about the Virtue Trophy game against Walsall, that it struggles to hold your attention. Yesterday, the main character was the referee for me, and that's not what supporting Posh is about. Don't get me wrong, his performance, the referees, was absolutely abysmal, but it's a penalty, clear as day. Like, I don't think he's got that decision wrong. There was plenty of other decisions that he got wrong, I thought, on the pitch, but that one wasn't wrong. And it's just a case of, like, we come on here once or twice a week and we ask these questions, is that when are we going to get back to this fast, free-flowing football? And I know that we're saying that we've not got the right defenders in, but the six players that are ahead of them, the two midfielders and then the four attackers, should be able to build up themselves. They've done it last season. Yes, they had Ronnie and Josh Knight and Katongo and Harrison Burrows behind them, but those six footballers that are on that pitch should be good enough to progress the ball forwards, move it around and get us attacking properly. It shouldn't be on the defenders to get us to attack, because the defenders have enough of their own issues to deal with in keeping the ball out of the net.
I mean, I sort of agree with you, Ash, but then I think back to last season, I think of the system, and I think how important the likes of Ronnie Edwards and Harrison Burrows were to sort of setting up our attacks and piercing those passes through the midfield and opposition presses. And this is a hard one to talk about because I'm not sure where I stand on it at the minute. But when I look at the players we've signed, and I think they've clearly improved the defence. Like Carl Johnston, I love the way he defends. He's so aggressive. He gets out to the winger so quickly. He dealt with Milanech Ali, who I think is a really good player, very well last night, limited him massively throughout the game. But then I look at his offensive quality and I'm not sure it's really there. Yeah, he does drive, like, as in he's a very energetic fullback. He'll run past his winger, but I haven't really seen anything from him in the final third. And his technical ability isn't amazing. I look at Sam Hughes and I think, you're doing everything I want from my centre back in a defensive sense, but you can't pass. There's, like Dale says, he gets it and he just pings it up the pitch and that's it, job done. You know, it's very basic football. And then I look at Teo Eden as well, and he's probably less of the defensive sense of things. But even with him, it's all 100 mile an hour football. There's no real culture about his play. It's not, you know, he's not going to pick a pass. It feels like he's a very much almost like Mark Little on the left-hand side, if that makes sense. That's sort of the comparison that I make. He's a little bit tripping over the ball a lot, and he's quick and he's aggressive and bundles his way through and he's effective, but he's also technically not that good. So all of a sudden you're going, well, we can't play football like we did last season. And I don't know if that makes us a better team. I genuinely don't know if we're now in a better situation or a worse situation. And then I think of the manager and I think, well, if you're going to set up like this, Darren, and this is how you want to play football, I'd rather have fucking Gareth Ainsworth in charge because he knows how to play this football. He knows how to play this basic, high press, long ball, you know, not really technically, you're not really asking too much technically of the players. That's not Darren Ferguson football. And then I listen to Darrow on his podcast and he says, I'd rather a 5-4 than a 0-0 or a 4-0. I didn't like watching it. I want us to get back to having 20 shots a game. And I'm like, but we haven't got the team to do that anymore. You've sanctioned two signings of players that are going to make us more robust, for sure. They're going to make us more defensively secure. But There is no doubt they've weakened our attacking quality. I just don't. I know they're defenders, and it sounds a bit strange, but the way Posh play, it's so key for the defence to play those balls and beat the press and bait the press and move it into the midfield, so the attacking players have the freedom and the, you know, the dribblers like Mothersill and Hayes can exploit spaces, etc., etc. And I don't think we can do that now. So I don't know where we are as a football team, and that's a weird thing to say. You know, what are we into the season now? We're well over halfway, and I don't know if this is. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy because we're playing like a bottom half League One side now. We've got the team. That's how we're playing. Is it more effective? I don't know the answer, and I don't really know where I stand. But that's the quandary in my head, and I'm not sure that this is Peterborough. Like we've all been saying, I'm not sure this is the Posh that I love anyway.
There's 100% can't disagree with that. It's not the Posh that we love. It's not the Posh that we want to see. But I think this season, I don't think it's going to change. I think for the rest of this season, it's a case of damage limitation. You know, if we can manage to stay in this division, I'm quite comfortable that we will, if I'm honest. But, you know, we can't lose sight that we are getting further and further down the table, and then etc. But I think this season, we just need to, like, stay in it. Fucking hell, stay in this division. Let's reboot, rebuild, whatever he wants to fucking call it, rebrand for next season, because we have got some good players. And there's probably a reason why we brought Sam Hughes in only till the end of the season, because let's be honest, he's not the typical Peterborough defender that can play the ball out, but he's serving a purpose at the moment to keep us in this division. We're not going to get in the playoffs, however much fucking, even the most optimistic person, really, I don't think we can get anywhere near there. But we need to make sure we're not in that bottom four. So I think the rest of the season is just keeping us out of that. So, yeah, it's not the way we want to see Peterborough play, and it's not the way Peterborough are going to play. And if I'm honest, I'm pretty sure it's not the way Darren Ferguson wants to see us play. But at the moment, this is where we are. You can see we're panicking by some of the decision-making. We can talk about Fergie in a bit if you want, but, you know, as people know, I'm a big fan of De Havilland, but I wasn't convinced putting him as a number 10 was the right thing, or wherever he was. It looked like he was more of a fucking centre forward rather than, you know, the solid midfielder, etc. But to be fair to him, I thought he'd done okay. I thought he'd done quite well. Could have had a couple of goals if he'd just a little bit more composed or whatever. But, you know, who in the fucking right mind, apart from me, and I'm not a football manager, would think about putting him in that position? You know what I mean? It seems like we're running out of ideas, and it's like, okay, we've got a fucking a round peg, we're going to put them in a square hole. And that's how it feels. We feel like we're panicking, and we feel like we're just fucking hell, nothing's working. What can we keep changing? You know, that's how it seems to me. It's not how I like to see Peterborough United. It's not what we should expect, but unfortunately, that's where we are at the moment, and I can't see it changing until the end of the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just want to touch on De Havilland, Dale, because I feel like I'm one of his biggest critics, but that is supposed to be his position. That's where he played at Barnet. That's where we signed him from. And I just don't know what he does. I've watched him for 18 months, and I genuinely have no idea what Ryan De Havilland is supposed to be exceptional at. What area of the game do I think, yeah, I need De Havilland to do that for? He's not a good dribbler. He's a okay passer in terms of technically. I think he's reasonably decent. Fergie always bangs on about his shooting ability in his interviews and said he's a good finisher. Two gilt-edged chances last night, missed them both. I mean, Con Clark hasn't been great, and I guess it was fitness issues that stopped him, but I just don't see it with him. He's just such an anonymous player for me. It's not like he dictates the play like Joel Randall. It's not like he plays it like a Tomlin in terms of bringing the ball in and rounding people. I don't know what he does. The one thing I will give him credit for is the timing of his runs were pretty good last night. He found space in the box reasonably well in the first half, and I thought that there was some decent movement, but it's not a performance, again, that makes me think, oh, I've got to keep Ryan De Havilland in this team. For me, it feels like he puts in a 5 out of 10 performance every week. He's never the worst performer on the pitch, but you never notice him. He never does anything that makes me think, well, that was exciting. That was good play. That was really, looks like a player that wants to stake his claim for a place in the team. I just find him so insipid. I don't know what he offers.
Well, first of all, mate, what the fuck does insipid mean? bearing in mind, I can hardly say certain words, let alone understand what they mean. But anyway, we'll move on. Just really quickly on RDH before we go on to other players. He reminds me of a bit of a Charlie Lee and the Phil Neville. Poor man's Phil Neville and a poor man's Charlie Lee. You ask him to go do this position, it'll go and do a job for you. It won't be spectacular. It won't be the best, but it'll go and do a job for you. Do you know what I mean? And he's just that sort of player. It's not one that will be able to settle down and, as you say, have his own position. That's my position, first name on the team sheet all the time. But there's something about him that, you know, he's a team player, a proper team player, and he'll do whatever for the team. But that's where I stand on De Havilland. I actually like him, and I definitely keep him in the squad, 100%.
Yeah, I don't think he's the worst player. I don't think he's the top of our issues list, but Dell's trying to force De Havilland back into right back again, so I don't ever want to see that happen. Please stop trying to pretend that he's this absolute utility player. But
on one stage, he was at right back last night, and I'm thinking, please stay there for 5 minutes and I can have my moment. But he was only there for about, I don't know, a minute covering.
Yeah, and like we're fortunate now that it looks like we have a good right back, and I do really like Carl Johnson. Like John said, like he doesn't have everything, but what he does have is that he really does know how to lock down that right hand side or left hand side as he's being attacked, and I think that definitely helps. Having seen what we've had this season so far in sort of Sam Curtis and Dornelli and Katongo, the three of them haven't managed to lock down a left winger all game, but it feels like Carl Johnson's really good at that. And there's no shortage of effort from him. And I think that that's definitely something that we've said before we're going to need. And it pains me to say it, but again, it's another 60-minute performance from Ricky Jake Jones where I've just not seen any effort from him. I said it when we recorded on Sunday. I just don't see what he's going to offer us if he's not going to do the thing that he's good at. It's so frustrating. He has all of the attributes to be a fantastic footballer. He has all of the ability, but he's just not applying it. And I understand that obviously Gustav is struggling with maybe being able to do 60, 90, 30 and just the change in nature. But to not see somebody like Brad last night, how disappointing. Like, what's the bloke got to do to get a start? Like, I know that he started a few weeks back, but he must be sitting there kicking himself, watching Ricky put in half-hearted performances and sort of just jumping and limping around and knowing that he can do so much better. I really think that actually we're at a position now where, look, things may change. And if Ricky doesn't go in between now and the end of the window, that he may then switch himself back on and realise that actually he's got to fight for his next move and he may start playing at 100% again. But if he doesn't, I think that it's got to be Brad and Gustav that start rotating and just give them both a chance. Like we've said, this season's a write-off almost. Like I'm confident that we're not getting relegated. We may look back on this in 4 months' time and all look like idiots. But I can say now with a fair degree of certainty that there's four worse teams in this league than us, is that we need these two strikers that we're going to have next season to start bedding themselves in and getting the game time so that they get their fitness off. Obviously, Brad's had his fitness issues. Gustav will need rest. So let's play those two. If we're going to play one up top, it's got to be a rotation between those two for me because I'm sick to death of watching Ricky prance around the pitch at the moment.
I'm fully on board with you, Ash. And I think that probably tells you everything you need to know about Ricky's recent performances because I know me and you have been probably two of his biggest defenders, certainly on social media, for the length of his time in a posh shirt. But like you say, if he's not going to do what he's good at, which is run around a lot, what is the point in having Ricky on? I think if we're going to go direct as well, Brad is the man. He occupies defenders, he's physical, he's a bit of a bully, it increases our set piece threat. I think there's a lot of advantages to playing him, and actually it does look like technically he's got a little bit in his locker, not just because he's physical and powerful. You shouldn't write him off in that sense. He does seem to be decent with ball at feet as well. So, yeah, I'm fully on board with Ricky being our third choice striker now. While we're talking on attitude, I did want to bring up Malik Muzsil again, just purely from the fact that he won our man of the match from our player ratings. I'll be fully transparent. I thought Carl Johnston was slightly better than him. But I did want to talk about Muzsil's performance, which I think has been, again, divisive on social media. You read it from posh fans and some people think he was shit and some people think he was great. And I think I'm certainly on the half of that. It was another positive performance from him. I think in the last 2 weeks, he's really defended really well, actually, in terms of he's clearly been asked to do a little bit more defending. And I think he's done that job really, really well. He's tracked back multiple occasions and helped out his fullbacks. Him and Eden seem to have a decent partnership growing down that side. But I thought his first half display really, I mean, he dropped off in the second half, so we'll discount that a little bit. But his first half display was certainly up there with one of his better 45 minutes in a Peterborough shirt. I think he obviously set up the goal. He laid a chance on a plate for Kean Hayes, which Hayes blazed over the bar. He set up De Havilland's second chance of the sort of early on, which De Havilland had saved. And I just thought, in general, he did everything I wanted the winger. He looked our most encouraging attacking threat. I certainly thought that he was more lively than Hayes, and Hayes has some, you know, some mitigating circumstances at the minute. I don't think he's fit. You can see he's still struggling a little bit with his shoulder. But I actually think Mothersill was very good last night, and I think his form is decent at the minute, and I don't get the calls for him to be dropped at all. I think, actually, I think he's been one of our better players this season. I was trying to think back, and I was trying to think back across the season. And for me, only Kwame Poku has had a better season in a Posh shirt than Malik Mothersill. I'm not saying he's been sparkling. I don't think anyone has. But I really struggle to name another player where I think, yeah, they've definitely been better than Malik for the entirety of the season. I think Malik's 13th in the goal-scoring charts now and 4th in the assist charts. He's putting up good numbers. And yeah, I really like him. I think he's being really harshly treated by the fans a lot of the time at the minute. And any questions about his attitude, I just don't see it myself. Maybe it's because he walks off down the tunnel that doesn't help himself. But if I look at what he's doing on the pitch, he looks our most likely outlet at the minute.
Yeah, and I think to sort of touch on that, people were moaning last night that he was selfish and that he should have played balls off. But isn't that what we want from our attacking players? Don't we want them to be selfish? Because I've listened and I've seen many a person, myself included, moan and berate Joel Randle for not being selfish, not taking a shot on, not doing the things that we want to see and putting the ball in the back of the net, because he always wanted to find the next pass, maybe to relieve some of the pressure on himself. And there was two incidents last night that people sort of flagged. One was where Malik was running directly towards the goal and he did a chop or something. I don't know the technical term of it. It's well out of my skill remit. He did a chop and apparently that Johnston was available. But that was in front of me and I wouldn't have been passing the ball there if I was running at the speed that Malik was running at. And then the second one was when people think that he should have squared it to Gustav and he took a shot and then Gustav tried to bundle it in. Now, we've nearly scored from that. You can't say that, oh, he should have just cut it across, because nobody can see what these guys can see. And he may not have even known that Gustav was there. He may not have known that his strike partner, his teammate was there. And actually, was the pass on? We'll never know. So I think that people are ultimately trying to find somebody to point the finger at. And I don't think that Malik Mothersill is the person that needs the finger being pointed at them. I think that, like John says, that he's not been fantastic, he's not been perfect, but he's definitely been one of the higher performers this season so far. And then ultimately, we're waiting for Kwame Poku to come back, I would say. I think that he definitely changes our fortunes if we don't sell him in the next sort of 10 days or so. And then it's a whole new season for Posh potentially once Kwame Poku comes back.
Well, I think that is last night's game sort of dissected. What I want to do now is just have a little bit more of an open conversation. We did do this maybe a couple of months ago about Darren Ferguson and his position. I think, listening to you both, I am less confident of us staying in League One than you two. I think if I had to put a number on it, I would say I'm about 60% certain that we'll do it. But I keep saying I think we're going to get to mid-table and we're just not kicking on. We're just not kicking on, and I don't know where the next win's coming from. And one thing I want to raise with you guys is the fact that we are now completely rock bottom of the League One form table over 15 games. The last 15 games, Posh have picked up 12 points, which is fewer than any other side in the entire division. Firstly, that's a shocking stat. I think any other manager that has gone from a team that was, well, top of the league in last January to a team that's now bottom of the form table. You look at Bolton sacking Ian Everett, and I know things are very much different with Bolton to Peterborough, and I know there's mitigating circumstances for Ferguson, but this isn't a fucking blip now. This is a third of the season. We have been the worst team in League One. And I think we all agree that we don't have the worst squad in League One. I truly believe that there's enough quality for us to pick up more points than Burton, than Exeter, than Wigan, all these sort of sides that are down there, Crawley, for instance. But for a third of the season, we haven't. And it doesn't really look like changing unless somebody's seen something that I haven't. I want to talk Fergie now. Ash, I'm going to come to you first. Do you think that the manager should be under any pressure at this stage? Or is this okay? Are we just keeping faith with Fergie?
For me, I am ready to keep the faith. I'm ready to see it out. I don't think, and I've said this all along with Fergie, to be honest. I don't see who is better. I don't actually see anyone that gets us out. With the squad that we've got, I don't see that there's anyone else that gets us out of this sort of dogfight that we're in. And look, the last night's performance, if we'd have put an extra 2 points on the board, I don't think that would have changed where we were in the form table. But it may have put us just above Exeter, who are also down there. But, you know, it's got to get right at some point, hasn't it? And I think that Fergie is that person. I think that now he's got those two defenders in that he wanted. I think that when we came on tonight and we record tonight, I think that if we'd have won last night, it would have been a completely different story. We probably wouldn't have even been having this discussion. Yes, there's still lots of work that Fergie and his backroom staff need to do in sort of the next 10 days. Now that we've obviously seen more people go out the door, is there a chance that we can bring somebody else in? Hopefully so. I'm sure that's what Dara said on his podcast this morning, is that there is a chance that we bring somebody in on the wage cap basis. But I think it all comes down to ultimately needs players that are ready to fight. And the manager can only take so much of the blame, I think, here. And multiple times this season, the players have been the ones to blame. And we've already discussed it. There's only one person to blame for the fact that we drew that game yesterday. It's Teo Edun, the left back. And then when you think about Bolton, there was only one player to blame when we conceded a penalty in the 94th minute, and that was Ryan de Havilland. And then if I think back to Northampton away, there was only one person to blame there, and that was Jadel Katongo for not following his man. And you can go through, like, you can only set stuff up so much. At some point, the players have got to take the responsibility and take the ownership of the fact that ultimately they're the ones that haven't been good enough. So for me, I think that we've got to stick with Fergie, because I want him to be here next season. And I think that having had a whole nother season and then a whole nother pre-season with this squad of players, I think that he turns it around and we have another fantastic season next season.
I'm on the Dara has got credit in the bank, in my opinion. Whether we stay up, whether we go down, I don't think he should be under pressure, because he's earned the right to manage us over a period of time. It's not the best season we've ever had. And I think we're also in a different position now where we're in a situation now where he's got nothing to lose, you know, apart from relegation. And if we was to get relegated, who's the best manager to bring us back up? It is what it is, you know. So I'm definitely not a Darren out. I think he needs to sort of buck his ideas up a little bit and maybe get the players playing a bit. But as Ash said, quite a lot of the games, it's been individual mistakes that's cost us. So, yeah, no, definitely not a Darren out. I did say at the beginning of the season, one of my predictions is that he won't see out the season. But I think that's more of him walking rather than being sacked. So, yeah, this is a different season that any of us have experienced. Forget about the Championship. That's a total different kettle of fish. This is League One. This is our bread and butter. We have never been this poor, ever. Even in a Championship, we was good to a fashion, if that makes sense. But now we are currently going through the worst period as a Peterborough fan in Darragh's tenure. I think that's fair to say. I can't think of anything else from there. But no, I think we need to just like not get in this Fergie out bollocks. We have to accept we're in a shit season. Crack on with it. See where it takes us. We stay up. Excellent. We get relegated. So be it. He will get us up if we do get relegated. That's my stance on it.
Yeah, I can confirm this is definitely the worst period under Darragh's stewardship. I think I started supporting Posh about my first game was about 3 days before Darragh bought the club. So literally my entire Peterborough United supporting life has been with Darragh at the helm. And this feels like the worst moment we've been in. And maybe it's me, but I'm really struggling at the minute to find much positivity, certainly more so than you guys, I would say. With Fergie, I just feel like I'm sitting on my fence a lot tonight. I don't know where I stand with him because I love Fergie. I love his brand of football. I think the way he wants to play is brilliant. I think the way he brings on youngsters is brilliant. You talk about next season, and I agree. I wouldn't want anyone else in League Two but Darren Ferguson to get us back up. But then I look at what I expect my players to do in terms of the standards. And we've all been really critical of these players. And, you know, Archie Collins dropping off from last season and Hector Kyprianou dropping off from last season. And I do think Fergie has made some rash decisions this season. I have criticised him. I do think he's made some weird changes, like the Bristol Rovers game when we were actually playing pretty well and just went to some kamikaze 3-5-2 formation, or when we won our first two away games of the season. And then at Leighton Orient, he played a five-back for no apparent reason. And then I do think he's done some weird decisions in terms of his starting lineups and just what's gone on this season. Kean Hayes at left wing back for weeks upon end. And look, he's had difficulties with the squad, but I just can't look past the fact that we are bottom of the League One table for a third of the season. At what stage? If we are at bottom of it after 25 games, I think I am going to be Fergie out. There has to be some level of pressure put on. I don't think there can't be, you can't have that much credit built up that you never come under pressure. Relegation for me would be a disaster for this football club. And if we're going to play like we are now, I'd sort of touched on it earlier, but Fergie isn't your man to play defensive, robust football. He's never done it. He's never been successful with it. He's never really ground us out a championship season where we've played like that. Fergie's football is front foot. It's attacking. It's get out them. If you score two, we're going to score three. He's a brilliant coach of that. He brings on attackers all the time. He's not playing that way at the minute. So if you're going to play like we are at the minute, I think there's better managers out there to play this style of football. And I don't know, man. I'm not advocating him to go, but I feel like a floating voter at the minute. If he went, I don't think I'd be like tearing my hair out or up in arms at the decision. I just feel like there has to be some level of there has to come a point, and it's probably not just yet, but if this goes on for too much longer, there has to come a point where we say that's enough, that's the end. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, and you said about the form table, if we're still bottom of that in after another 10 games, I think that ultimately if we're bottom of the form table after the next 10 games, then that's we're probably relegated. We need to find some points and we need to find them fast. We've only got 20 games left. If 50% of them are going to see us at the bottom of the table, then, you know, we're relegation form as it is. Another 10 games without picking up a decent amount of points. Let's say, 10 games, we probably need to see at least 15 points from that, I would say, which I don't think is too much to ask. But then you look at the teams that we've got to play in that 10-game period, and where are we getting points from? I don't have any confidence going into the weekend. I don't have any confidence going into next Tuesday, I don't think. And then after that, we're then starting to play the Birminghams, the Huddersfields and the Stockports of the table again. Like, it's concerning in that sense, but like Del says, I don't see anybody that can do any better with what we've got in the building at the moment and without having a complete overhaul.
Well, let's face it, whatever happens, it's fucking different, isn't it? You know, normally we're fighting for promotion, normally we're fighting for the playoffs and whatever. This year, we're fighting to save our position in League One. So, fuck it. It is what it is. You know, let's just keep supporting them. But bottom line is, final line, and in my opinion, don't think Fergie should be sacked.
We'll move on then to Lincoln. I feel like I've reached despair at this point. I just don't even know what I'm saying tonight. I just, my head's gone. Yeah, we'll move on to Lincoln. We'll talk about team changes. Does anyone have any confidence? Dale, I'm going to throw to you. Do you want anyone in? I mean, I'm almost on the, let's try Ryan de Havilland at right back at this point, because I'm fucking out of ideas to do anything else. So what do you want doing?
Okay, well, believe it or not, I probably wouldn't put de Havilland at right back, because at the moment we do have a decent right back. So that's a problem area that's been fixed. Happy with that, no problem. I probably wouldn't make too much changes, to be honest. I would drop Manny, as I've been saying for a while, and because I think it's too similar to Hughes. And I would probably bring Walling back. I know a lot of people don't like Walling, but I think he's probably one of the better player passer out of the defenders that we've got. We've got the solid player next to him. So I'd probably bring Walling in for Fernandez. I would fuck Ricky off. Sorry, I would drop Ricky. And I would bring in either Guff, whatever his fucking name is, if he's fit enough and he's ready to start. Or you say, why not Brad? We don't see what's happening in training. Is he injured? I don't know. But what we have got to do is have something different, because it ain't working with Ricky up there. So I wouldn't make too many changes. I probably wouldn't have de Havilland in that position again. Maybe it's a bit of a kick up the arse for Con Clark. Well, actually, fucking hell, my place is under threat. He might perform better knowing he's got a bit of competition. So, and also think that he is a bit more attacking and a bit more sort of dynamic moving forward. So potentially de Havilland out for Con Clark, Ricky out for either of the two others we spoke about, and yeah, Fernandez out for Walling. And apart from that, I think that's where I would stay.
No, I'm gonna try and be positive here. As we've talked form tables, it would be wrong not to talk Lincoln's form. In their last five games, they're only 1 point better off than us, and they've actually only scored one goal and conceded five. Then if you look at that over a 10-game period, they're only 3 points better off than us, and they've scored six and conceded 10. Now, what would be the perfect chance for Posh to sort of take on that reign and go and score a load of goals? If I think back to two, three seasons ago, was it now? We won 3-0 at Lincoln. I think this is the perfect opportunity. Have the lads got it in them? I'm not entirely sure. But it would be nice if we could go to somewhere where they're not really scoring a massive amount of goals and not have to worry so much about defending. Obviously, we went there last year and I'm pretty sure it was 0-0, wasn't it, against them. Is that hopefully we can find a way to break them down and get some goals in. It's not a massive pitch there, so I think that we'll probably struggle in that sense. But equally, could it help us? Could it help us that there's just that little, it's going to be a little bit tighter. We're going to have to be a little bit more on it. Everybody's first touch is going to have to be that little bit better. Put a little bit of pressure on everybody. I think, like Dale says, probably the only two. I'm not changing money at the back. I don't think that Walling should come in. I don't think that Nevin should come in. They're two not even making the subs bench at the moment. So if anybody's going to come in, then surely it's got to be Katonga, because at least he's making the subs bench. Fergie obviously is seeing something from them in training that obviously we're not. But I think that Con Clark, and then I would like to see Brad. I'd like to see on the smaller pitch, I'd like to see Brad rather than Gustav. And then maybe we see Gustav for 30, 35 minutes in the second half. But I think that it's time that we see Brad on the pitch and see what he can do, hopefully.
Yeah, I think I'm in your camp with keeping Fernandez and Hughes together. I think they've just signed James Collins, who's likely to start up front for them. I think we want that physical edge, especially on that pitch. Like you say, Ash, it's tight, it's compact. They'll make it difficult. I remember the game last season when obviously we were a much better team and we were kind of fortunate. I think it was 0-0 and we were relatively fortunate to get away with that. They missed a fairly big chance relatively late on, if I remember rightly, where he blazed it over the bar. And we struggled a bit. Lincoln always strike me as a bit of a nasty side. They're not particularly pretty on the eye, but they're pretty robust and effective. And I think the key for us is going to be that combativeness and aggressive and really try and, look, play like we have been, I guess. It's a game which should suit the likes of Johnston. It should suit the likes of Hughes. It should suit Manny. I think going forward, you've got to bring Con Clark back into the team. I don't think Con Clark's been brilliant at all since he's really had his run. But for me, he's a bit more of a spark than a De Havilland. I think we know what we're going to get from De Havilland now. It's going to be Steady Eddie, but I don't. The time is really gone for Steady Eddie. We need some match winners on the pitch. I think you've got to drop Ricky. I don't mind who plays up front. I think I'd be inclined to go with Lindgren just for the sense that I feel like he is the number one striker now. And when he's fully fit, he is the one the club are backing to make that impact. So I probably would play him. But if we need to change it, Brad is the second in command in that sense. And I'd bring him on first. So, yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. I'd keep the rest of the team the same. I'd like to put Collins and Kyprianou under some pressure, particularly Collins, really, because I think Collins' form recently is just, it's dropped off a cliff. This is the worst I've seen Archie Collins play since he arrived in Peterborough. But there's not really anything that I would trust to come in and upgrade on his performances. And to be honest, Collins is our best player right now. He's got to step up. He's got to start playing better. And the same goes for Kyprianou. You're wearing the armband. Please just step up. I know he scored last night, but both of them have got to step up, especially with Sissoko coming back. He's obviously not fit enough to start this one, but he might be able to play 30 minutes. Hopefully he can show some quality. I feel like we need him to be Rodri-like to get us up the table. So let's do some predictions. I'm not expecting too many wins, but you never really know with an Ash prediction. So I'm going to go to you, mate.
Look, I'm still confident that we can win. But it's only going to be 1-0 this week. And it is going to be Brad that's going to score, that I am confident of. He's going to come on late and we're going to score a late winner after some heartbreak of conceding late goals. Bradley Ihonvion to come on late, score in front of the away end, do a weird celebration because he has never really scored properly. His celebration at Gillingham was quite strange, actually. Let's have another one of those. 1-0, Posh.
Fuck it. No clean sheet. My time of predicting clean sheets is now done for the season. 4-2, right? And even better than that, Eden, whatever his name is going to score a fucking screamer to make up for his penalty fuck-up at the weekend. So, yeah. There we go. 4-2.
You two make me feel so miserable. I can't predict a win. I don't know where it's coming from. We've all been saying it. I'm not about to go and do the predictions and then say, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to lose. We're going to lose 1-0. It's going to be more dross. It's going to be boring. Please surprise me, Peterborough. Please surprise me. Turn up. It's a winnable game. I just don't know if we've got it in us. But let's hope that we have. I just want to talk about a fucking win, please. That's not in the paint pot trophy or whatever it's called. Anyway. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
I've told you before, we're a vibes team now. Just play off vibes.